Just one small thing. You know, when we're meditating, of course, we're not exactly in the mood of Yashoda Damodar. Some of us may be, but still there's some lessons that could be learned from that. That I always appreciated. Our acharyas have explained that even though Mother Yashoda, you know, went to great lengths, to literally lengths, you know, to collect ropes and ropes and ropes to try to bind Krishna to the grinding mortar, again and again she was 2 inches too short. And that 2 inches, you know, they explained that it refers to two fingers too short. This, the finger, which is the shorter finger, which is the first finger, in certain respects, at least. You can say Krishna's mercy is always the first finger, but, you know, he wants to see the extra endeavor. So, you know, going the extra mile, so to speak. And that's supposed to convince him to, you know, do the second finger of special, you know, reciprocal mercy, reciprocating with our extra endeavor. It's interesting that Mother Yashoda, no matter how much extra endeavor she was making, you know, it wasn't happening. She was collecting ropes and ropes and ropes. And still, again and again and again, Krishna wanted to see the extra endeavor. And then again she was collecting ropes, and again collecting ropes. So it was like that first finger, to what extent does that first finger have to go? How extra does extra have to be before extra can be considered extra enough to be actually extra endeavor? However, it's interesting to mark that after she became exasperated in her attempt to collect all the ropes, and she collected all the ropes that she had in her own house, but then what did she do? She got her friends, in other words, she engaged her friends in helping her in her attempt to somehow or other bind Lord Krishna. You know, so they started bringing ropes and ropes from their houses. And it was actually only at that point when she did the para upakara, or at least gave up the, well, hers is transcendental egocentric and egocentricity, but the principle is useful for us in that we can try and try and try and try and try on our own. That's kind of like, you know, nirjan japa jagya. Krishna says japa jagya jagyosmi in Bhagavad Gita, but there's something more than that that he wants to see. And that's what was exemplified by Mother Yashoda's intelligently engaging her friends in bringing extra ropes and extra ropes to increase the volume of extra endeavor. So that is what is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means the volume, you know, a louder voice, you can say, to get Krishna's attention, you know, by, you know, with a little help from our friends. And that's what it's really all about. You know, it's not a independent angel show, so to speak, one man show. Sankirtan is, you know, at least this is what I'm beginning to understand a little more in the course of my endeavor to act as an instrument on behalf of the predecessor acharyas to whatever extent I'm able. But what I'm understanding more and more, and it has a lot to do with the fact that Krishna has mercifully broken my voice down so that I can't stand on my own anymore, so he's forced me into the position of realizing that I need all the help I can get. You know, I'm not going to make it back home back to Godhead. I seriously doubt that I'm going to get Krishna Prema without, you know, all the help I can get from anyone and everyone I can get it from. You know, and I'm praying to all of you that somehow or other, with all of your kindness and well-wishing and special causeless mercy upon this wretched fallen soul, that somehow or other I'll be able to actually attain the goal of my life of being able to eternally serve Radish in Brajadhana. At least I have the audacity to say that that's what I want. I remember Vishnu Jan Maharaj every time I say something like that, or every time I hear someone else say, you know, I want to, but, you know, or I want to. One time Vishnu Jan Maharaj requested me, because he needed a pujari for Radha Damodar, and he requested me because he knew that I was at the Q Street Temple in Washington at that time, taking care of the big Varnatai deities there. And he came through in Potomac also, and I think it was then when he was actually making a serious push to get me to come and be Radha Damodar's pujari. But at that time I was deep into the vanity of being one of Srila Prabhupada's frontline book distributors. And I had done that for about 8 years. And so I wanted to continue with my book distribution, and I'd heard from various sources that being the pujari on one of the buses meant, you know, that I have to wake the deities in the morning, I'd have to, you know, bathe and dress the deities, I'd have to do 7 artiks, I'd have to do, prepare the, you know, at least 3 fruit offerings. I wouldn't have to be the cook and cook, but I'd have to prepare the fruit offerings. And then I would have to, dress the deities and put them to rest at night also. So that was kind of quite a platter full. And I was thinking, how am I going to be able to continue with my book distribution effort to serve that aspect of Srila Prabhupada's mission? You know, if I agree to come on to become Radha Damodar's pujari. You know, so I told Vishnu Jan Maharaj, I said, yeah, Maharaj, I want to, but, you know, I want to, right? I want to, but is it going to interfere with my book distribution effort? I said like that, and then he just like I thought it was such a remarkable and intelligent reply, and I really appreciated it, and it stuck with me for the rest of my life practically, and had such an impact on me. And he just kind of like quipped back at me, but mildly chiding me, saying, Indra, never say you want to do something. He said, because if you say you want to do something, it means you really don't want to do it, because if you really wanted to do it, you'd be doing it. And I thought that was great. Never say you want to do something. You know, oh yeah, well I want to go back on back to Godhead. But, you know, what about my various material attachments, my various egoisms, my egocentricity, my inability to recognize the need to get all the help I can get, you know. So we have to help each other. You know, we're all like little mini Mother Yashodas trying to bind Lord Krishna. And we have to recognize, you know, that what we really need is to get together, you know, maybe more often, like we're doing now, and or, you know, come to the temple, you know, in Radha Shama's presence, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, at least a little bit every day. I can't do what I used to do because Krishna's taken away to force me into submission. You know? But at least, you know, I can come down and demonstrate my I want to, but practically, you know. Don't say you want to go back home, back to Godhead. You know, if you really wanted to go back home, back to Godhead, you'd be going back to Godhead. You know, and that this is the way to do it. This is the way which is prescribed by all of our acharyas. Jagyai Sankirtana Tayar Vijanti Hi Samedasaha. And practically speaking, in Kali Yuga, all the acharyas, Vishwanath, Jiva Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and even our Srila Prabhupada. It's not that our Srila Prabhupada came to change the law. He came to fulfill the law, more or less. You know, and that is the most recommended process in this age of Kali. The most recommended, or the most powerful, most important, at least in certain respects, although our book distribution is certainly important, but ultimately, the whole thing is about Nam. So the most important Anga of all the 9 processes of devotional service, of all the 64 processes of devotional service, of which, you know, Panchanga Bhakti stands out, you know, as the superlative aspects of devotional, you know, Bhakti Yoga. You know, of all these processes of devotional service, Kirtan. Among the 9 processes, Kirtan is considered to be supreme and most efficacious. And among the different kinds of Kirtan, because there's Nam Kirtan, there's Rupa Kirtan, there's Guna Kirtan, there's Lila Kirtan, what to speak of philosophy. So out of all the varieties of Kirtan, it's clearly established by all of our acharyas that Nam Kirtan is supreme. But there's something more supreme than that. And that is Nam Sankirtan. And there's something more supreme than that. That is Samyak Kirtan. Ramanam Sankirtan, but it's described Maha Harinam Sankirtan. Maha Harinam Sankirtan. Sankirtan is when there is 2 or more. I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. I'm where 2 or more individuals are singing my glories. That Krishna says. You know, so 2 or more constitutes Sangha Kirtan. Or even Samyak Kirtan means complete Kirtan based on Sambandha Tattva Gyan, Abhideya Tattva Gyan, Prayojan Tattva Gyan, where there's a clear, you know, understanding of the goal and a serious, sincere meaning the endeavor to please Krishna. Anyabhilasita shunyam, we were hearing Uri Jan was saying this morning. Anukulina Krishna Nushiranam, taking up favorable means by which we can hope to get Krishna's attention. You know, but this is the most favorable means, is to come together in the endeavor to help each other attain the goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. So that we're actually making, you know, at least going in that direction. Anukulina Krishna Anusilanam is basically the same principle as Krishna Indriya Priti Ishta Dare Prema Nam. Krishna Indriya Priti Ishta. Ishta means desire. Priti means to give pleasure, to satisfy. To love. Means, love means to please the beloved. So, Krishna Indriya, to satisfy the senses of Krishna, to have the desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna, and it's just a question of how much you have that desire. Some people will have it more, some people will have it less. Some people will have it, have a more intense form of that desire, and thus you go up through the different mellows of devotional service from Shanta Ras to Madhurya Ras, like that. So there's greater and greater degrees of intensity. And in our lowly condition, there's also consideration of degrees of intensity or depth, you can say, of our desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. And that's what we're supposed to be getting. As soon as we walk into the doors of this Krishna consciousness movement, as soon as we walk through the doors of this Krishna consciousness movement, from the very beginning of our training in devotional service, we're supposed to be trained about this point, you know, that all of our activities should be aimed at satisfying Guru and Krishna. And by doing that, by just simply embracing that principle, trying to find out, you know, what is anukula, bhajan, you know, what is pratikula, pratikulasya varjana, giving up those things which are antagonistic to the cultivation of uttama bhakti, like that. So that is called as samyak kirtan, complete kirtan. Complete kirtan, the completest complete kirtan, is when many devotees are together who are on the same page. You're not having to drag people along, you know, who are here for some ego gratification or to exploit the situation for some profit, adoration, distinction, or whatever it may be. So it's necessary for all of us to become acquainted with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so that we can all be on the same page, at least basically on the same page. In Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan Leelas, there were different devotees who were relishing different rasas, even while dancing in the same Sankirtan performance. And Lord Chaitanya was reciprocating with all of them, just like some example is there in the, I think it's Krishna Bhavanamrita, there's a description of how the cowherd boys, at the end of the day, maybe on the Vrindavan Champu, somewhere in one of these books I remember reading, how the cowherd boys, after Krishna comes back from, you know, his pastimes with Radharani and the Sakis at Radhakund, after the Surya Puja, you know, he appears, you know, as a Brahmin to perform the Surya Puja for Radharani, and Jatila unknowingly enlists Krishna as the priest for the sacrifice, and Krishna refuses to accept the reward and all that. So then when Radharani is taken by Jatila and all the Sakis, they go back to Yavat, and then there's Krishna goes back to the pasture to meet up with the cowherd boys, gather the cows for bringing them back to Nandagram. But before they hit the road, so to speak, back to Nandagram, the cowherd boys have fun dressing Krishna according to their own individual taste. And Krishna expands to be with each cowherd boy without the other cowherd boys seeing, just like the gopis when they were dancing in Rasa Leela, a Swayam Prakash manifestation of Krishna expanded to be with each gopi, and none of the other gopis could see that Krishna was with all the other gopis because they were thinking that Krishna was with them and reciprocating their loving services. So similarly, the cowherd boys, they would dress Krishna according to their own desire to see Krishna in a particular way. So then, when it's time to go back home, all the Swayam Prakash features, they merge into the original Swayam Rup Krishna, and all the cowherd boys and the cows, they're all coming back home, but each cowherd boy is seeing Krishna to be dressed exactly the way he personally dressed him. To now talk about inconceivable potency. Krishna's Achintya Shakti is so fantastic that each devotee, even though he is a singular personality as Swayam Rup Krishna, the cowherd boys are seeing him because he's Baba Grahi Janardana. He's reciprocating with them individually. So similarly, in Lord Chaitanya's Leelas, in the dancing and chanting in Nam Sankirtan, different devotees are having different bhavas. And Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating with them variously. All simultaneously, not being noticed by the others how that is happening. Even in the Puri Lilas, during Jagannath Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was expanding into seven different forms in the Beda Kirtans, was expanding into seven different forms to dance in each of the different kirtan groups. And of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Maharaj Prataparudra from the roof of the palace, they were seeing this amazing feat of Lord Chaitanya. He is expanding. Someone might say, because actually Krishnadas Kaviraj says how fortunate they are to be able to see that. But really, who is more fortunate? Those who are thinking that Lord Chaitanya is with us, dancing with us. How fortunate we are that he's come to dance with us. So similarly, Giridhari and I were listening to Vrindavan Mahimamrita while we were doing my Thakurji's puja, Seva puja, and we were hearing how in one kunja, Radha and Krishna are embracing. And in another kunja, Radha and Krishna are playing dice. And another kunja, Radha and Krishna are feeling intense separation. There's four kinds of separation described. So sometimes this prema vaichitya manifests where even though they're together, they experience intense separation from each other. You know, and another kunja, Radha and Krishna are deeply immersed in their prema keli. And this is all going on simultaneously. And then in another verse, Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying, why are you worrying? Because, I mean, I read in one of the Puranas, I forget which Purana it was, but anyway, I was reading an incredible description of Golok Dham, where there's these three demigods somehow got the Adhikar to enter into the Golok planet to have a guided tour of Golok, you know. And then this is they describe in great detail, incredible. I can't even begin to express it. But there's so many there's huge mountains which are bordering the Golok region, and on top of these mountains, there are like innumerable cowherd boys standing there with sticks guarding. There are no Vishnu Dutas, you know, with forearms, you know, as gatekeepers of Vaikuntha or something like that. They're cowherd boys standing guard to protect their Krishna, you know, their friend. Just like Mother Yashoda, they tell the older boys to carry their bows and arrows. They would carry bows and arrows and swords and lathis to ward off the demons so that no one would come and harm, you know, Mother Yashoda's baby boy, Krishna. So, and they also, the older boys, have that vatsalya bhav mixed in there. There's vatsalya, sakya that gives rise to vatsalya, and there's sakya which gives rise to madhurya, and there's more or less ordinary sakya also. But, so some of these older boys, there were like millions of them, innumerable, you know, guarding the Golok region. And it's describing how the mountains are like covered with kalpavriksha trees, all made with jewels, and you know, it's like, you know, like the whole realm is like describing jewel this and jewel that and jewel this, and, you know, it's like unlimited opulence, as if it was. And obviously, even it's described that the realm of Braja is the supremely opulent realm, even more opulent than Vaikuntha. But all that opulence is overshadowed by that prema madhurya of Krishna and the reciprocation, you know, between Krishna and his madhurya premika bhaktas in all the different braja rasas. But then it describes how there's you know, after you get past the mountains, then you go down into the pasture grounds of Vrindavan and the forest regions, and there's like unlimited millions and millions of palatial buildings which are all made of varieties of jewels and jewels and jewels and jewels. You know, it's like incredible. You know, I can't even begin to... We'll have to sit down and read it maybe someday to actually get the feel of where that's at by hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, instead of having me try to regurgitate it, because I can't do justice to it. But all these, you know, millions and millions of palaces of all the gopas and gopis, and then there's millions and millions of palaces of Radharani's Priyasakis, and then there's the palaces of the Parampreshta Sakis, the Asta Sakis, and then finally you get to Radharani's palace, which is like the most supremely opulent palace out of all of them. Incredible opulent palace of Srimati Radharani. And then it goes further. Behind Radharani's palace are all the palaces and kunjas of all the manjaris. All of Radharani's manjari maidservants also have all their kunjas and palaces, and there are innumerable. The way it's described, it just makes you think, you know, we don't even stand a fighting chance. Are we going to have to take a number at the gate or something, you know, and when our number is called, you know, finally we'll get an opportunity to offer our garland after it's long and wilted. Standing in line, you know, with a million sakis in front of us, a million maidservants. But no, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, he says, that why are you worrying? He says, don't you know there's a Radha and Krishna in every kunja? There's a Radha and Krishna in every kunja. Just like here in this Vrindavan, you'll all have Radha and Krishna. That's what you want. You know, otherwise you can have Krishna Balaram. But mind you, Srila Prabhupada did suggest that even those who have a tendency or have an inclination toward the Sakyaras, that the best is that they can follow Subal. Subal Sakha can also get Mahabhav. And the followers of Subal, just like in Ujjala Nilamani, it describes that Subal, after Radha and Krishna's Prem Keli, he's inside the Nikunja cottage while Radha and Krishna are there on the playbed, and there's sweat drops on them from their ferocious love battle. So here's Subal Sakha fanning them. Standing there, fanning them, to cool them, to evaporate the sweat from their bodies, to give them comfort. Of course, he's doing it from the angle of vision of pleasing his Krishna, his friend, Krishna. But he's so intimate. And it is said there in that verse that what service can Subal Sakha not perform? What can he not do? Practically speaking, he's virtually on the same level as the Manjaris, at least in certain respects, as a Priyanama Sakha. So there are multifarious opportunities. So let's help each other get there. All right? Hare Hare. Enough. Hare Krishna.
Ayanja Prabhu ki jai!
Shri Prabhupada ki jai! Harinam Sankirtan ki jai!